Hello, brothers and sisters out there. It is Saturday once again, and we well, I made it through the week. Hopefully, you guys made it through the week too, and enjoying your Saturday and just relaxing. Or you know, the ones that have to work, you know, my prayers are off for you guys. But it's, you know, I work many years on my Saturdays and Sundays, and it's good to have it off, and it gives me opportunity to do this podcast or this recording, and just whoever's out there that may need to hear it. And on Sundays I travel and preach sometimes, or I go to church and sit there and get the message and get lifted up and prepare myself for Monday, which is not my favorite day of the week. Seems like you blink, the weekend's over with. And my brothers and sisters out there, if you're off on Saturday and Sundays, you kind of get it. You know, it's like it's Friday, now it's Monday. It goes by pretty fast. Few things I want to mention. The on my website, I do need to do some improvements on it, but it's a slow process. But there is a comment section there, and you can comment, and it'll send straight to my email any questions you may have on salvation or the sermons I'm preaching. And my last sermon I preached on the invisible war, and you know, I'm really felt led by God just to continue that preaching, and I'm going to try to break down the armor of God to each piece, and really struggling on getting the sermon written down, so you guys bear with me. And then I'm just going to let the Holy Spirit take over and do what it needs to do. Sometimes it's hard to put words on paper, and sometimes you just gotta lean on the Holy Spirit to just guide and direct you through the scriptures. I always want to say, anything I say here, it's all God. He directs my steps. He guides my thoughts in these, when I'm preaching. I don't really depend on myself much, other than trying to study the word and, you know, and lay myself at his feet and tell him I ain't worthy of this, and if he can open my eyes to the passages and whoever's out there listening that may hear it and get something from it, that's all I want. Sometimes the words are hard to speak because they're truth, and they hurt. And they hurt me when I have to speak them, especially in today's, I call, lost generation. I believe this is the falling away. Some scholars would disagree, but I believe, you see, if you look at the world, there's a falling away from God's truth. The truth that made this nation great, and is being smeared and is being diluted. So if you guys would bow with me, what I'm going to do is read from Ephesians 6. And what I'll do every time on these, when I'm breaking down the armor, I'm just going to read through Ephesians 6, 10, all the way down to, 18. And that's kind of the scriptures I preached on last session on the invisible war. Some of this may be review. I might review some of it just to give a light on the piece of armor that I'm discussing today or preaching on. So the reading is going to be Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. If you guys would bow with me and pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you, Lord, and just thanking you for another day to breathe, to take in your word. We know when we begin with your word, Your word won't go void, regardless how inadequate I may speak your word because of my flesh. It's because the spirit inside me will, and the words that we speak straight from your Bible will not go void. It will touch whoever's heart it needs to touch. It will reach whoever you need it to reach, Lord. I pray, Lord, you just be with me when I give this message. I pray that the listeners out there, you just be with them when they listen to it. Open their hearts and their minds to your word. Give them strength to endure whatever they may be going through. I don't know what's going on, God, in with their lives, but you do. I lift them up to you. I know there's many people hurting and suffering out there, and we lift them up to you, God. And pray, Lord, that your will be done in their lives. Pray that you be with our nation, Lord. Pray that you be with our preachers, Lord, that they stand for the truth of the gospel and they quit watering it down to track the crowds. The first thing that should track the crowds, Lord, is the word of God. When people are hungry for the word of God, they'll come. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day and just thank you for everything you've done for us and the protection throughout the week, Lord, that we can sit here and just listen to your word and pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to read from Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. If you have your Bible, just follow along. Even I encourage you reading it out loud with me. There's something powerful in the word of God, right? You reading it loud, it's just, to me, it's empowering. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, also the rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take upon you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about truth, having the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shone with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray always with all prayers and supplications in spirit, watching there upon which perseverance and supplications for all saints. Now, when we look at this passage, Paul's telling us that there is a war, and we have to prepare for this war, and that this war is made of battles throughout the day. When he says evil day, he's talking about we are going to encounter days, some on a daily basis, where the enemy is just attacking us, trying to destroy us. And how I define the spiritual warfare, and I mentioned in my last preaching sermon, I'll look at it as a close examination. That's examination of the individual battles that believers face every day. That clearly indicates a war all around us that we cannot see, but we can see the physical consequences in this world. You know, God, Satan is a defeated foe, and he knows his time is limited. I was reading a story about World War II, and after the peace treaty was signed, you know, and everything was resolved, there was still war or battles being fought, even though it didn't affect the state or the peace within, or call it guerrilla warfare. There was still pockets of resistance still fighting, and there were still, even though the war was won, there was still war going on, or battles in Pacific areas that was just a real, and people were losing their lives. So God has defeated Satan, but Satan still has pockets, and he's still attacking, and he's still trying to destroy. He's trying to take as many people as he can down to hell with them. And one of the sad truths of today is in the church is the lack of spiritual warfare teaching. And the ones that are, I do a lot of examinations of books and stuff, and I find a few good books that actually really hit the target, but there's some vast many. They just, it seems like they go away from the Bible and they establish their own doctrine. I want you to be aware of those. If their teachings don't go with along with the Bible, the words of God, you need to avoid them. It's just another tactic the enemy uses to destroy you by false doctrine. So today I want to look at the first piece of armor that is told that we should have on. And Paul uses the words loins girt about with truth. Your loins that are girt about with truth. Those are interesting terms. If you want to look at loins, that's basically your spiritual important organs. And when you use the word girt, that means cover. That means a covering. And he mentions this first. And there's a reason Paul mentions this first. He said, your loins girt about with truth. You know, I kind of look at it as a belt that holds everything together. The rest of the pieces are held together. But in Paul's day, he's comparing a Roman soldier. A lot of times he was the Roman Empire, and Paul was giving illustrations so that his audience could pick it up. And we need to kind of get a sense of that audience and get a sense of the words, and then we can relate it to today. But you see, the Roman soldiers, they had a belt, and all the rest of the armor was hooked to this belt, and it was a very important piece of equipment. If the winter time, soldiers wore a long robe, and the first thing a soldier would do is get ready for battle, they would girt up their loins. And this basically is, they lift up the long robe and they tuck it into their belt so they can move freely. On march, you could have it down to stay warm. If they were off duty, they could unbuckle it, but if they were on duty, they made sure their belt was buckled. To not have their belt buckled, they were going to be punished by their superiors, or even have severe disadvantages to the enemy, meaning if they didn't do it when the enemy came, they were literally vulnerable to it. So that was very important. That's why Paul uses this first. The first thing is truth. To have our belt on. And if you look at today's, right? And if you look at from athletes to us, you know, me when I'm at work, I have a belt on, and on my belt I keep my phone on my belt, I keep tools on my belt. My belt's very important to keep everything together. Sometimes I tuck my shirt under my belt, and if that's showing that the belt's important to hold everything together. And what he's saying here is, we need to make sure we have our belt on, our truth. And when we talk about truth, we're talking about the word of truth. You know, John 14:6 tells us, Jesus tells us, I am the truth. If you look at the same chapter, verse 17, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Romans 3:4 tells us God is truth. Psalms 19:151 tells God's word is truth. Colossians 1:5 says the gospel of truth, that it, the truth. If we would go back to Genesis 3:2-4, and when we look at the serpent which Satan entered, he tested the truth. What God told Eve and Adam. In Genesis 3:2-4, you can see the woman said unto the serpent, God has said, ye should not eat of it, and she's talking of the tree, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Deception is a weapon that Satan uses. He wants to destroy the truth of God. It's very important for us to have that truth on. And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, today, the truth is still challenged. Satan has not switched his MO. It's still the same. Deception. If you look at it, if you look at the world today, well, turn on the TV. They tell you, well, you got to have a certain car. I don't know if you like a Mercedes-Benz or a Ford Mustang. And you have to have a certain car to have a certain woman. Or if you're a woman, you have to have a certain dress, a certain appearance, a certain makeup, a certain perfume, you need to lose weight to get track a certain man. The deception is there, all on TV. Enemy is alive and well, and he has intensified, because we're getting closer and closer and closer to the end. If you look at how the world is positioned, we're there, brothers and sisters. And really, I would say it's my opinion, but I would say it's a fact. If you really start doing some research, and I encourage you to do it, on Sodom and Gomorrah and the what was going on. There's some interesting reads out there on what it... We have surpassed Sodom and Gomorrah. And you see what Jesus... Well, God and Jesus is the same. You see what God did to Sodom and Gomorrah. He destroyed it. Even the days of Noah, we have surpassed the days of Noah. He has destroyed. He is coming back, and he is destroying this world. And that is the truth. And the only fundamental truth there is to make sure you are a child of God. That's the first thing you need to establish. Because the rest of the armor don't mean nothing unless you have that fundamental truth of salvation. And I preached on salvation a few times, and I'll preach on it till my breath is no more in me, until they throw me in jail or they do whatever. Salvation. There's only one way to Jesus. That is the truth. He is the only way. Today, many people will tell you there's many ways to get to God. No. Jesus said, I am the only way. I am the truth, the life. He is the only way to salvation. And salvation, believe it or not, has been muddied. To be a child of God, you have to understand what happened in that garden of Eden. What sin went down that was a disobedience against God's word. the devil deceived Eve, and then Eve deceived Adam, and then it was blame and self, and they were in shame, and that was the sin, and that's when God promised in Genesis 3:15 that he was going to send Jesus to come down here and to die for our sins. We recognize the fall of man. We recognize the sin. Sin is ugly. Today, preachers are not preaching on sin. They're not saying repentance is important. Repentance is key. When I see professing Christians out there living in their sin and loving their sin and saying, I'm okay, it's all right. No, it ain't. Sin. We should be like David. When we sin, we should be in mourning. We should be crying out to God, forgive me. Not saying, oh, well, I'm flawed, it's all right. No. The Holy Spirit inside you convicts you. If you lack the conviction, you are not a child of God. And to be a child of God, we have to recognize why Jesus was sent to us. Sent to us to because we couldn't repent. In the Old Testament, they had to do all these sacrifices. But God sent Jesus so that we don't have to do all these sacrifices. That we can come to him and say, hey, Jesus, here I am. I'm sinful. Every day I look at myself, I am happy. My righteousness is nothing but filthy rags to you. I lay my heart at your feet. Sin is ugly. It is nasty. And to legalize it and say, it's okay, I sin, God understands. God understands that you are sinful. He can't look up on you, and he don't understand that you live in it and you like it. And to me, you're not even a child of God if you're okay with that. I'm not okay with my sin. When I mess up, I am grieved in my spirit. I can't look at myself. I am torn. Where is our people that are torn, living in their sin? God sent Jesus to die on that cross. The blood was shed to forgive us of our sins. When we mess up, to repent. And he was removed from that cross, and he was placed in the tomb, and he rose that third day. And he was seen by many. And he ascended to heaven. And he said, I'm sending the Holy Spirit down to you to live inside you. So you believe. You confess this. And when I put the Holy Spirit in you, I seal you. And because I seal you with my Holy Spirit, the sin that you will commit, it will grieve you. Because the Bible said, it says, I chastise those that I love. He's talking about, if I love you and you're sinning, I am going to whoop you. I am going to put conviction in your heart that you can't even look straight. You can't focus. Your heart is torn. This is regeneration. When you become a child of God, and we don't preach on this, we leave salvation at the tomb. We say, this is all you have to do. And we're not preaching the real truth of salvation. It is a process. Meaning when we say I do, we have entered a battlefield. We are in war. We are fighting battles. It is brutal. And we get these new converts. And they don't know what they're doing. And we're sending them out there. And the enemy's like, I'm going to destroy you. And they don't know what they're doing. And then you have pastors cheating on their wives. You have people don't understand. They are in an intense war. And the Bible tells us many will go to hell. And we're sitting here not knowing what we're doing. I read an article on in that how United States is so biblical illiterate, meaning we don't read our Bible. And we got a bunch of people that they're claiming, oh, I read my Bible, blah, 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 blah. There's research after research saying we're not. You can tell that lie on Facebook. You can tell that lie to others. God sees you. He sees you right now, and he knows what you're doing. And you are thinking you're getting away with it? I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, there's a payday. One day you will look up at Jesus, and he will look down on you, and he will know every dark secret, every lie you told. He will know all of it, and He will hold you accountable. And if you are a child of God, He forgives it. If you're not, and you're pretending, you're professing something you're not, He will say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. He will send you to hell. Jesus spoke on hell more than anybody in the Bible. But why are we not speaking on hell today? Because today's modern Christianity, the Christianity that's in the church, the devil has infiltrated the church. He is winning to destroy the foundation of the gospel of salvation. And we stop salvation at the cross. And I'm going to tell you, when it don't stop there. Once you say I do to Christ, you enter into a war. And who you were, you're no more. If you're doing what you were doing, you're okay with that, then you are not regenerated. If you mess up and you are not grieved in your spirit, you're not torn, you need to say, hey, something's up. And this is not my opinion, this is the Bible. Here's a thought. Open the Bible and read it. Start from Matthew. Work your way all the way to Revelations. Do I outline? Pray over it. Let the word of God speak on it. Don't take my word for it. I'm just a messenger saying God is coming back soon. And many are going to be lost. And there's going to be many that's in the church has lost because their preachers up there not proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, the true salvation. Because once you accept Christ, you are changed. All things are new. That is a truth. That is a truth. That's the belt of truth. And once you've done that, the Holy Spirit lives inside you. Then you start becoming a disciple. You start moving forward. You start learning. Hopefully you have a good Bible study. Hopefully you're into the Word. You're tearing it apart. And you're like, hey, Pastor, can we do a Bible study on Tuesday or Monday? I'll lead it. Or somebody will lead it. Have somebody there to lead it. Have a fire burning inside. But what you have is, oh, Sunday's here. Okay, that's good. Yeah. Oh, I might make it to service. I'm telling you, one day a week, don't do it. One day of the week, hour a day, and then you go out Monday, and Monday through Saturday, the enemy's wide open. He is destroying you, and you're allowing him to do that. So, the first truth is, once you're a child of God, you put the belt of truth on. And that's what he's saying. It holds everything else. So if you don't have that fundamental peace, if you can't say 100% I am a child of God and all the stuff I just got them preaching on, if you're saying, well, this guy is fanatical, I won't tell you another person that was fanatical. He was crying out in the wilderness, repentance. That was John the Baptist. And I guarantee if John the Baptist rose today, he wouldn't be out in the wilderness. He would be in our churches saying, repent. You are falling away from the truth. He would be in our churches proclaiming the gospel. And you know what? Most of the churches say, I ain't having him. Well, he didn't go to seminary school, so, you know. And look at him. He ain't groomed. He had a message. He didn't need a seminary student and a seminary degree. He had the Holy, he had anointing on his life to say somebody is coming and he's going to repent. I'm not even worthy to tie his shoes. And then Jesus came. And you had all these Pharisees and Sadducees, and he flipped the table on them. They, in their day, religion was making them money like today. Look at all these preachers. And I get hit hard on pointing out these preachers. And it's because people are hitting me because they don't know what they're doing. They are confused. At most, confuse a spiritual baby. Or they're not even saved because they don't understand. A preacher should not be worth millions and millions and millions of dollars. Yes, they should have a nice little house and nice a reliable vehicle and their bills paid. But to have millions, to have a mansion, to have a farm, come on. You think Jesus proves of that? Look at the disciples. They didn't have nothing. Why are we more important than the disciples? Look at the church. They had nothing. They had the word of God. And that was all they needed. But we need more. That is deception. He has entered the church. He has ripped the foundations of what God stands for. I'm here to tell you, I'm here to proclaim the gospel and to claim this deception. And I don't care if you like it or don't like it. This is the word of God. We are in the end times. We need to get out of the playground into the battlefield. End is coming. Well, Jonathan, I ain't going to listen to you anymore. That's fine. Don't. It hurts my heart that you don't want to accept the fact. But the Bible tells us many won't, and many will go to hell. That is the simple truth. Hell's going to be more filled than heaven. Just think about it. Hell is going to be more full. Hell's going to be more full than heaven. And that's what the scripture tells us. If you don't believe me, flip over to Matthew 7, flip over to Matthew 22. Jesus, his direct word, speaks of that. He said that. Not Jonathan. I'm here. I am a poor messenger of Jesus Christ that is trying to proclaim a gospel that this world has diluted. And the truth is, once we recognize the truth, the deception of the enemy, we put on the truth of the gospel, the real truth. God gives us many promises as his children. I don't know if you're really aware of this. The Bible speaks of 3,573 promises. First being Genesis 3:15. Just in Ephesians, Paul tells us about adoption. He tells us we are loved. He says we're sealed to the day of redemption. Once you get that, when you know that the Holy Spirit is resigning you, that you're not happy with yourself, when you sin, it grieves you. When you're not of this world, but you have to be in the world to proclaim the gospel. We are loved by Jesus. We are. Hell was not made for us. It was made for Satan, his falling angels. We call them demons. We have to prepare ourselves for battle. Once we understand that we are a child of God, we put on the truth of the gospel. And we prepare ourselves for battle. I just want to tell you, brothers and sisters, are you living a lie? Everything that the Holy Spirit had me say today, pertaining to this war, the spiritual war that's happening. The salvation, the true message of salvation, don't stop at the cross. It continues. It's a process. All the way up to until Jesus comes back. We will keep growing. And the goal is to be like Jesus one day. But we won't reach that until he comes back. We won't be completely whole. We have flesh, and we're going to mess up. But when we mess up, our hearts, our minds are grieved. That's one way to know if you're a child of God. When you mess up, it tears you up, and you're on your knees crying out to God. When you mess up, and your first instinct is not to cry and say, "Oh, that's okay, I'm human. God understands." There is a problem with that. There is a problem with that, brothers and sisters. And I'm here because I love you to tell you the truth. No matter how hard it hurts me to know there's people out there that see me, that respond to my Facebook, and they want to attack me because they don't understand the gospel. And then they attack me and then stuff starts happening in their life. I'll just tell you, you don't attack a man of God without consequences. When you attack a man of God, a true man of God, God is not happy and things happen to you. And that's not my opinion. If you look at Acts, you can see that. We should be careful who we should do proper research on whoever we, I always do proper research on everybody I look at. And I'm going to tell you, there are many out there. Joel Olsteen, Steve Furtick, Jules Myers, Beth Moore, John Hagee, Billy Graham. There's things I'm worrying about Billy Graham on. Franklin Graham. There's things Billy Graham said before he passed away that's unsealing. And there's things Franklin Graham is saying that's unsealing. I'm telling you, devil has entered the church in a deception. These people have massive influence. Somebody like me, I'm probably looked at as extreme. Hopefully one day I might be able to sit in a crowd of millions and preach a gospel. Hopefully I'm praying that the heart is stirred in our nation to hear a true gospel. And the true gospel is what I just said, and I'm preaching. And I pray if you're not a child of God that you just get on your knees and say, hey, here I am, Jesus. And get on your knees with the Bible and just start reading from Matthew. Read the four gospels. Read the four gospels. It tells you how to be a child of God. And when you're done with that, start, you know, Acts is church history, but I would just go to the epistles and then come back to Acts. It's all beautiful. The Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation, it's all beautiful. But some people are not ready for certain meats of the Word of God. So read the four Gospels. But don't read them fast. Meditate on them. Take your time. Pray before you read. Say, Lord, here I am. I'm reading your Word. Reveal it. He will reveal things to you. He will open your eyes. You just have to say, open my eyes. Create a clean heart. Open my mind to the gospel, Lord. I'm reading it, your Word. And what does it mean to be a child of God? And what does it mean for me to put on the belt of truth and to look out into this world and see who is preaching? And are they pronouncing the truth of the gospel? This is being honest with yourself. Because God already knows you. He knows you better than you would ever know yourself. So today, I just want to tell you, brothers and sisters, this is not a game. This is a war. And are you wearing the belt of truth? As you guys bow with me. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, Lord, just laying our hearts down at your feet. Praying that this message enters whoever's heart is out there, God, that needs to hear this message. Forgive me where I failed you. I'm not worthy to pronounce the gospel, but you have anointed my life too, so here I am. Reach whoever you have to reach. Shake who you have to shake. Rattle them to the point of true repentance. True acceptance. True believing. True confessing. That sin just, when they sin, it just rocks their world and they can't sleep unless they repent of it, Lord. As David did. He was torn. He couldn't even look at himself. And I get that way some days too, Lord. It's hard to look at myself. Because I know who I am. This flesh. But I know I'm a child of God. And because I'm a child of God, I have the belt of truth on. The truth of your gospel. That I'm honest with myself and I'm honest to you because you already know me. I pray that you just wake up America Church. You shake them. You rattle them. The false prophets, the false teachers, Lord. I pray, Lord, you do what you have to do to remove them from their pulpits. And put true man of God up there. And the congregation that just gets starts studying their word. And they recognize the lies, the deception that is coming from the American pulpits. And they seek out true man of God to give them the word of God. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen.